Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and what amounts to part two of our introduction to the book of James. This study will focus on two words in verse 2 of James chapter 1, and we've titled it The 12 Tribes Brethren. The point of these first two studies is to establish context. If the mind of the reader is not clear on who the author is, to whom he is writing, the time of his writing, and the purpose of his writing, you'll get confusion. And not only do many Christians read from a standpoint of confusion, but many pastors and teachers wreak havoc on their students and listeners as they teach from a standpoint of confusion. As you listen, if you have any questions or comments, you can send those to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com. And by the way, if you jump ahead and start asking questions before you've heard the studies pertaining to those texts, we will simply point you to those studies. But questions pertaining to studies you've actually taken time to listen to are certainly welcome and will be answered as quickly as possible. And that email address again is bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also mail your question or comment by the old-fashioned U.S. postal system, along with any check or money order contributions made out to Bible Believers Fellowship, and sent to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button at the bottom of the page. That's also where you will find the conclusion of this two-part study. And now we begin with a current events update in order to assist Bible students in keeping up with the world situation in light of Bible prophecy as the stage is being set for Daniel's 70th week. Then we actually introduce the study with a psalm, and then on to our study in James 1, 1 through 2, titled The 12 Tribes Brethren. This is part one of two.
Into our current events update.
We're doing fine downstairs. Of course, the delay.
Yeah, that's normal.
Liberals fighting for the ability to cheat in elections. I don't know if you've seen this, but this is their agenda, is to screw up our elections like they did this past year so they can get by with cheating. The Supreme Court is heard an Arizona case on absentee votes and ballot harvesting. Now, the Supreme Court doesn't make the decision within a day or two, but they heard this case, or two cases actually. One was Brnovich versus Democratic National Committee, and the other was the Arizona Republican Party versus the Democratic, they should call it the Democratic Communist Committee. And they want to destroy election integrity. That's what they're all about. Communists have always done this. This is just old hat. One of the ways they do it is what's called ballot harvesting. You need to understand what that means. The news media will never tell you the truth. What they do is they send out Democratic operatives, and they send out all these ballots that were sent out in mass, hundreds of thousands of ballots. And then the Democratic operatives go out and these people didn't request these ballots, and they go to their houses and they fill it out for them, and they sign them, and they send them back. It's not the actual person voting. And a lot of these people are mentally incompetent. A lot of these people are in nursing homes and in assisted living where they're in because of dementia, Alzheimer's, you name it. Other people have just, are just mentally handicapped or whatever. But that's how they won this election. Anybody telling you that this election wasn't stolen is a liar or just stupid. These massive numbers of mail-in. Now, I'm not talking, that doesn't count what might have happened with the Dominion software and all that. And there's other things they were doing to cheat. But just this one thing tipped that election. And the other point that they're trying to not allow or not require is absentee signatures. If you get an absentee ballot, which isn't the same thing as the mail-in ballots, by the way. The mail-in ballots go to people who didn't ask for them so that their Democratic activist friend or relative can come and fill it out for them and send it in. This is a requested ballot, absentee ballot, but they're not requiring signature verification. And so in that case, you also have people who will request a ballot for Aunt so-and-so and then fill it out and sign it. And they don't require big signature verification, which means they don't even know who actually is filling out those ballots. And in several of those states that were stolen this year in the 2020 presidential election, they had no signature verification and they had no chain of custody for the ballots. People were handling those ballots. They were filling them in. They were doing all kinds of things. They were putting them through machines and canceling and rejecting them if they were for Trump, and then accepting them no matter what, even if they weren't signed properly for Biden. All that kind of cheating going on. So that's how the 2020 election was stolen, and that's what the Democrats are fighting to do to our elections. They are fighting to hurt your ability to have fair elections. And they always cry, oh, you're racist. Well, Joe Biden the other day said that the minority groups are too stupid to know how to get to a ballot or election. What do they call them?
A voting
place. Yeah, voting place. But there's a word. Polls. I'm so dumb, I don't even know what they're called. And I can still vote. I still get there. Yeah. But that's what he basically said. We need to. That's just an excuse. Black people aren't dumb. Asian people, Hispanic people, and white people. There's the same percentage of people in all those races and everything that are stupid and smart. It doesn't have anything to do with the race, but they play that race card so that they can continue to put these rules in and change the laws in order to allow for there to be corruption. So a decision is expected by late June. That's how fast the Supreme Court works. Meanwhile, the great falling away continues. While all their political corruption by liberals is going on, a conservative group of United Methodists is leaving the United Methodist denomination in 2022 to form a new denomination. Now, that sounds good, and for a while, I think it will be good. That's the question that people are asking me. Is this a good thing? For the conservatives to get out and do their own thing, it's a good thing. And this was the headline, that they're going to launch this new denomination in 2022 because there's a process they have to go through to then be released from United Methodist, and then they'll form their own thing. And it would be good. But this new denomination begins already out of the gate with female pastors. Some men and some women. Here's right from their new website. They're calling themselves the Global Methodist Church. And these are the conservatives, by the way. And so they ask, will the Global Methodist Church have women clergy? And the answer is yes. Women, like men, will be called to serve in the Global Methodist Church and will be entitled to serve at all levels of the Global Methodist Church. So right there, you're starting a new denomination by saying that you don't care what God says. The whole reason they're having the problem with gay marriage and all the homo stuff in the United Methodist denomination is it started with women preachers. Once you say you don't care about, because they'll say it's a cultural thing. Paul was talking about a cultural thing. Well, once you go down that road and you open that can of worms, then that's when everything else goes downhill. So generally, it's an improvement, but already in the wrong direction. The scripture is clear in 1 Timothy 2:12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, again, that doesn't mean that a woman can't ask a question when the pastor opens up for questions. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, give a testimony or a prayer request. Or, you know, we had missionaries come in and the woman or the wife will stand up and explain what's going on in the mission field. This is saying that a woman should not be the pastor and should not stand up here and say, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'd like to begin my series on the book of Luke. And I'm going to, you know, and if she's got that deep of a voice, you're probably in trouble anyway. But that's all it's saying. But again, it's saying that. It's clear. And you're going to start a new denomination and say that doesn't. Well, then what other parts of the Bible are you going to throw out? And eventually they'll go the same route.
Are they getting the Bible?
Excuse me?
Sorry. At the end.
Okay. Heresy begets heresy. So if you start with, okay, we're going to have women preachers, then you're going to have other things that the Bible says you shouldn't have. One after another, Christian, I put them in quotes, organizations crumble. Here's another example I posted on our MeWe this week. Bethany Christian Services says they will help LGBTQ families adopt children. Whoa. Bethany Christian Services should tie a millstone around their neck and jump off a bridge. Because that is wicked. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I think at this point, anybody running around saying there's a great revival going on, or there's going to be a great revival, they need to be slapped. There is a great falling away going on. Question is, will you go along with the crowd, or will you be the Noah or the Lot of your generation? That's the question. That's why we always quote Jesus when he says, remember Lot's wife. And that can go for men just as well as women. Just one more thing. I had to pull that out of the old archives. Dr. Seuss. Oh, yes. He's now a racist. Dr. Seuss is canceled. 6 books will stop being published because of racist and insensitive imagery. Truth be known, Seuss had a lot of psychobabble and nonsense in his books. So I'm not really crying about the fact that he's, you know, whatever. But the fact that they're calling him a racist is just incredible.
But do you have examples?
Of what?
What they're calling racist at all?
You know, they didn't really go into specifics. They just... But they listed 6 of the books, the 6 books that aren't going to be published anymore. So if you find those, get them. They're going to be collector's items.
Shall clap their hands. The trees of the field shall clap their hands.
All right, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 1, and we're going to get into the first word, the first couple of words. Verse 2, it's titled, The 12 Tribes, Brethren. 12 Tribes, Brethren. Let's go ahead and read those first two verses if you're there. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. All God's people say amen to that. That's some good stuff there at the end of the verse. We'll get into that next time. This time, we're still building on the context. We began our study of James laying the groundwork with the first two points, that James Zebedee was the author. He wrote it before Acts 12 when he was killed, and that's around 42 AD. So you can do the math and see that this was written within a short time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We also saw that there in verse 1, it's to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, and we talked about that. 12 tribes, not lost, but scattered. And a lot of heresy. We talked about one of the things that people, the reason why they talk about the lost tribes is because they don't want you to think that Israel has a future with God. The other thing we didn't really talk much about is the British Israeli heresy, well known by, how many of you remember the Worldwide Church of God under Herbert W. Armstrong? And then his son Garner Ted started the United Church of God. Then after Herbert died, a man named, I think it was Koch, K-O-C-H, but he had a successor who basically brought them back into the evangelical fold. They still held on to a few things that we wouldn't agree with, but they junked the British Israelism and they junked the work salvation, and they pretended to keep the feast and all that. And so if you see the Worldwide Church of God today, they may have even changed their name. I should have looked that up. There was talk of them changing their name because of the baggage. But what they taught was that the 12 tribes were lost. And then after the Assyrian attack on Israel, the tribes that were lost went over the Caucasus Mountains and became what's known as the Caucasians. See? So the true Jews are us white people, yo. But there's other versions of that now. There's the Christian identity. They also say that the Jews became Caucasians and all that. But then there's, you've heard of the Hebrew Israelites. You heard of them. And they say that the tribes somehow made their way down into Africa. And I don't know the specifics about it, but the African tribes are actually the true Jews. And that's why Satan wants you to think they're lost, so that you might fall into some of these wicked cults that teach these things.
They changed their name to Grace Communion International.
Grace Communion International. That's interesting.
Long time
ago. And so that's what used to be the Herbert Armstrong cult. There was a small group of the Armstrong followers who did go off and reorganize a small group, but nothing like it was when he was around. So we're going to continue with the context. We're going to look at the third point, and that is what the scripture says, that this James wrote this to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Then what's the first two words of verse 2?
My brethren.
These are saved Jews before the Acts transition. And it's something you have to really get in your mind as you're reading the book of Acts. It becomes a much more interesting, and it makes much more sense if you understand that from the beginning of Acts, which was the ascension of Jesus Christ in chapter 1, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptizing believers into the body in Acts chapter 2, from that point then, all right, you had Gentiles baptized into the body. That's the mystery of the body. But it wasn't understood. And that whole, from Acts 3 on, really, Acts 2 on, it was the transition from Israel under Mosaic law to the church, the body of Christ under the gospel of the grace of God. And so when you read Acts and you understand, there's a purpose for what you're reading. God wasn't pouring out miracles because he wanted a revival. He was pouring out miracles at specific times and places for purposes. The speaking of tongues was first in Jerusalem among the Jews and proselytes who had been circumcised, were under the law. And now the speaking of tongues was a sign from God that Jesus was risen. Jesus had ascended, and as he promised, he had sent his Spirit, and he was now building his church. Now, Jesus introduced his followers to the church many times. One place is in Matthew 18 for church discipline, when you have to deal with people, and he talks about taking a matter to the person. If they won't hear you, go with the pastor and one or two others, and if they won't hear you, bring it before the what? The church. And so Jesus is introducing the church. The book of Acts is the story of how you got from the temple to the church itself. And the church is the body of Christ, what some people use the word universal. The original term used was Catholic, but that was stolen by the Roman Catholic Church. And so when you say Catholic, people immediately think of Rome. The word Catholic doesn't belong to the Roman Catholics. But people don't know what you're talking about when you say the word Catholic. They immediately think you're talking about the Pope. And so the word universal, which is what Catholic was originally supposed to mean, they just use the word universal now most of the time. And that universal body then is made up of individual believers who are supposed to attend local assemblies, local churches, and have fellowship in the flesh. We belong to a universal body that's a spiritual body. The Holy Spirit baptized you into it. You didn't feel a thing. But you were baptized into that spiritual body that's a universal body. But then in the flesh, you're to attend a local church and fellowship. Now, we've got some folks who can't do that, but they fellowship online with us, and we're thankful for that. But when you can, you should attend a local church for that reason. So again, verse 1 says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, not lost, the 12 tribes of Israel. And now the first words in verse 2 is, my brethren, and that's believers among the 12 tribes of Israel. And you say that might seem a little obvious, but what the hyper-dispensationalists are one group that will say that James is only using that word in the sense of the fact that these are Jews. And what some people will tell you as a Christian is you don't have any business reading the book of James. It's not written to Christians. And it's crazy, but that's a point. We'll tell you why it's crazy here in just a moment. And they argue the brethren, the word term brethren, was a term used by Jews of other Jews, especially before the Acts transition. That's a true statement. That doesn't mean anything, though, when it comes to James' use of it. If you do a word search, do a word study, brethren, and you just look up every passage that uses the word brethren, then you'll see that the reference to men and brethren. How many of you remember those references? Men and brethren. And then numerous times, and they're just talking to Jewish brethren who might be in the midst of other non-Jewish men, so men and brethren. But James makes his use of the word clear. He uses the term 15 times in this context of verse 1. My brethren, he says. Excuse me? Oh, I thought you said that. Somebody said something. These were Jews saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but they had not yet received all truth. See, James is addressing these believers among the 12 tribes that are scattered. But James himself, when he writes this book, he is not writing with the full revelation that you and I have of what Paul received and later taught. James died before that revelation of the mystery of the body of Christ was even understood. He died in Acts 12, and people didn't even at that time understand exactly what was going on. It was just happening. They didn't know how to explain it. Look over at John chapter 16. John 16. By the way, there are people who, on the other side of that extreme, because Paul brought so much new revelation to the table, you know, there are groups out there that will tell you Paul was a counterfeit. Paul was an imposter. And they claim that they don't believe Paul's letters should even be in the Bible.